and back in the mid-40s for the following weekend. Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and you're listening to Study His Word Radio. I want to thank you for listening today, and I want to welcome to the studio Barbara Mills, who is the director of Voice of Hope Pregnancy Resource Center. And I think it's actually like and Family Center or
Voice of Hope Pregnancy and Family Center.
All right. So thank you for being here. Welcome. And just to start out, tell us what you folks do, because I'm sure everybody doesn't know.
Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the invite. And actually, what we do, our mission is to offset the anxieties caused by pregnancy, whether planned or unplanned. So we offer laboratory-grade pregnancy tests, first trimester ultrasounds. We want to give mom and dad a chance to see and hear their child. But we also have a continuation program where we help let mom know what's going on inside of her body. Our program is called Earn While You Learn, where moms can come in and take parenting classes and earn baby bucks and purchase items that they need for their baby. So in a sense, you know, the best way I can put it is trying to offset that anxiety caused by the pregnancy. You know, what can we do to meet her at the crisis and help, you know, unpack that, and what can we do to help? So basically that's what we're doing with the mothers.
Okay. And how long has the center been in Marion?
Well, the ministry started in 1988 in Wyandotte County. And I think we opened up the Marion location in 2011. So it's been alive that long, but I believe we've been actually operating. I know we became medical, offering the ultrasounds in 2011, so I know it wasn't very long before then that we actually moved to Marion, or expanded, rather, to Marion.
Okay, so you're part of a much larger organization.
Yeah, we actually have a center in Wyandotte County, in Bucyrus, and here in Marion.
Okay, and when did you become involved?
I've been there 8 years. So 2015 was my first year. I was here before that as a volunteer. So a total of 9 years if you count the volunteer time that I've served in the ministry.
Okay. And how did you get involved, or what led you to get involved?
I don't want to give you the long answer for that. I mean, since I was 8 years old, I listened to Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family with my mom, and just growing up with his voice in my ear, when I learned what abortion was, I knew from then on I wanted to do something about it. But as a child, you don't know what you're going to do. So the pro-life mission has been in my heart for a very long period of time in my life. And that being said, in my church, I served as often as I could. There was a program called Respond for Life. I don't even think they do it. I don't even attend that church anymore. But it was just an abortion awareness group. Like, what can we do as a church? So it was just a branch of ministry within my church. I got involved and went to a banquet. I heard Gianna Jensen speak, and she's an abortion survivor. So I was really excited about that. So I ended up just kind of getting connected, learned about Voice of Hope, and then met the director at the time and built a relationship with her. And then when it started volunteering. And when she, you know, the Lord was calling her another direction and the opportunity was there, she really felt like I needed to apply for it. So, did not feel qualified at all, but I did. And, you know, here I am. So, that's kind of the short story, if you could believe that. That is a very short version of the journey.
Okay. So, let's back up a minute. And we know that we're not born as Christians.
Exactly.
But at some point in time, we start that journey. So, tell us the high points. Tell us the whole story. I don't care.
Okay.
How did you come to know the Lord?
My mother is an amazing woman of God. I wish I would have told her to tune in today, and I didn't.
She can hear this replayed at 9 o'clock Sunday morning.
So. I will make sure she does. I will never forget it. I was very, very young, probably younger than 6. And a television show was on. I sat down and was watching it. And a man was crying on his knees begging. And his eyes had these nasty scabs over them. I don't know if I can tell this without crying. And a man walked over, spit on the ground, made mud, wiped it on his eyes. And he could see. And I will never forget that moment. And I was watching, and Mom came in and sat down beside me, and this time she wasn't in church, you know, but she knew that she needed to go home to, you know, she just knew she was in a place where she needed to get her family in church, and she sat down beside me, and I just was like, it was so real. And I was like, Mom, who is that man? Because the guy was crying and hugging him, and she's like, oh, sissy, that's Jesus. And then I remember that we started talking about who Jesus is, and we were in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth, and she taught me about how he came, died for my sins, for me. I can still feel the poke of my chest. He died for you, and then he rose. And I just fell madly in love with this man named Jesus who could heal a blind man. I thought that was incredible. So since then, I've been on a journey of building my relationship with Jesus and passionately being in love with him. And it's not been a perfect journey by no means. I accepted Jesus officially at 8 years old, was baptized in an old muddy river in southern Ohio in April. It was very cold, and my shoes washed down the road, washed down the river. But those are moments in my life that will always matter. And then that's when my mom got into church because of that whole big experience. And that's, she started listening, like I said, takes us back to where we are, because she found Dr. James Dobson at the time, and we listened to him. And I just, once I fell in love with Jesus, I knew there was something I was supposed to do for him and for the world. And as a very small child, didn't know what, had no clue. God's good.
So when did you, at what point did you then start getting a feel and maybe finding some outreach you could be involved in or doing some whatever?
Well, my parents, once, you know, this awesome moment that I'm telling you about, we found our church. My mom rededicated her life to Christ. My dad did too. And when my parents started our family in church, like I said, I was eight. They served. They cleaned. We cleaned. I remember at 8 years old being at the church. Why do we have to do this? Which, by the way, that's what I still do to this day. I will go clean the church when I leave here. And I don't mean that to brag. It's just an honor. It's an honor to hold a towel for Jesus, you know, no matter what you're doing. But anyway, we cleaned the church. My parents played music. They sang. They always, my mom taught. You know, my dad would lead services sometimes. So from the very beginning, my parents modeled to me and my brother that you don't go to the house of God to sit and receive. You go to learn and grow to serve. And they had a towel in their hand and a guitar. Now, I have no musical ability. You can hear my voice. Can you imagine this trying to sing? But my family can. My brother can. I cannot. So I knew I had to do something. You know, I can talk and I can teach. So at the age of 19, that's when I stepped in my first role as a, you know, a Sunday school teacher, teaching and helping with the kids and then eventually the teenagers and working in children's ministry, which I'm so extremely passionate about. I still serve in children's ministry. And to be honest with you, to kind of hit the pause button, my passion for the unborn, they're still small people. It's my passion for children, for kids, for teenagers. I don't care if they're freshly, you know, started, you know, at that second moment, half split second of conception, or 20 years old trying to figure out what do I do next. My heart is extremely full of passion and desire to help people of those, but in that age category, find Jesus like I did. I don't want them to be as old as 5. You know, I want them to find him and to experience him and to develop into the potential, because the Bible says in Psalms 139, I'm not a really good chapter and verse quoter, but my favorite portion of that very overused, abundantly used, I shouldn't say over, abundantly used scripture is, you know, you knew me as I was being formed in my mother's womb. You knit me together. But the special part to me that says is that every single day of my life was written in your book before one day was even experienced. My passion is I love that man Jesus so much that I know that he grieves when that book gets closed before he wanted it to be closed. And that's what I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of helping people find what those words mean. Help people to know they were born on purpose with a purpose. And to me, I don't mind. Like I said, they could be 20, they could be 90, but this is the area where God has me serving, or just half of a split second old. There's a plan. There's a purpose. And I want to do everything I can to help people discover that while I'm still on a journey finding mine, because I'm sure God has a lot more for me. You know, it's not just about this moment. It's all of these moments put together, and I love it. I told you, I talk a lot. But that well, just, that's it. I guess if that answers your question, yeah, more that's than it. It's about that book.
Well, and, you know, praise the Lord for several things here. First of all, you know, I praise the Lord for the passion that you have for what you're doing. And I gotta do a big praise the Lord for your parents, because that you had the fact that you had parents that not only were believers, but you had parents that modeled Christ, that modeled a servant heart, so that you would grow up seeing that. Because unfortunately, you know, there are too many people out there in the church that they're not modeling it to for their kids. Mm-hmm. They're not modeling it for other people. So I just, you know, a shout out to your parents, for doing that. Yeah, so you mentioned you have a brother.
Yes.
Older brother, younger brother?
Yeah, I'm actually the youngest of nine.
Oh, so you had a
so,
big
well,
family.
Well, I didn't all at once. My dad was married more than once.
Okay.
So with my mother and our family, it was just my mom and dad and my brother and me.
Okay.
My brother's 14 months older than me.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a big family when we want to be a big family, but it's also a small family when we want to be a small family.
So whatever the results were, there was a time and there was a And it continues where your parents were like modeling it to the family. So,
yeah.
Okay. From a kind of like a day-to-day sense, maybe a little bit more details into the services you offer. For instance, let's a young gal, teenage gal, not married, finds out she's pregnant and calls your place or comes into your place. Just what's that like?
Okay. Well, the first thing that we need to do that I feel is the most important thing is not be fetus focused. And I don't believe that fetus is a bad word. I mean, I'm a middle-aged woman. I don't love to be referred to as a middle-aged woman, but it's a stage of life, right? It's not who I am. And we have to make sure that we understand that. But when mom first comes in the center, number one, we got to talk to mom. What's going on in her life? You know, women don't just wake up and think, oh, I'm pregnant. I need to terminate this pregnancy just because, you know, it's a Monday and it just feels like a Monday thing to do. There's something going on. There's a problem. There's a crisis. There's a situation. So instead of just worrying about, you know, let's get that baby born. No. There's a page situation, like I mentioned earlier. You know, this girl or this woman, regardless, no matter how old she is or how young she is, there's something going on. She has a need. She has a pain. She has a crisis. There's a fear. There's a reason that's making her think that the best choice that she can make for her life and sometimes her child's life, it's not done because of hate and laziness, not always, you know. My first goal is to get to her. What's going on? What happened? Can we please just forget about the pregnancy? How can I love on you? How can I minister to you? How can I get you connected with this man, Jesus, who heals, delivers, saves, prepares? He does all the things. And that's my first focus, is on her. What's going on? And I need her to know she's loved. Number one, by God. Number two, by me. So when we are ministering, when we have the blessing of getting to minister to a woman that is experiencing a crisis pregnancy, it's just a beautiful opportunity to connect with her and find out what's going on. But we let her know in no uncertain terms, regardless of what you choose, you're loved the same. I don't love you because I want you to make a decision that I think you should make for your life. You need to know that you are valuable, that you are precious. And what grieves your heart grieves God's heart, and that he sees you and that he hears you. I want to help her get connected to that understanding. And I depend on a Holy Spirit encounter. I depend on God to go in there with me, because I say this all the time, that I'm just the donkey Jesus rode in on. There's zero talent in me. There's not a cookie cutter answer. You know, I don't study, you know, my college days, I did telemarketing. Hideous work. I'm telling you, if you do telemarketing work, I love you. Thank you for working.
I probably hung up on you a few times.
Oh my gosh. Like it's not good. It's not good on the soul to do it too long, in my experience, you know, but it doesn't matter. I love the work that I do. And I don't even know where I was going with the telemarketing thing. I just got myself derailed. But we need her to know that she's loved, and that it doesn't matter what she chooses after that. That, you know, oh, I know what I was saying about the telemarketing. We had scripts.
Right.
So, like, if you told me no, and there was always keywords, because humans, we don't realize how we all do the same thing over and over and over until you do a job like telemarketing. And whatever excuse you would give me, I could look on the wall and I'd have a response to give. That doesn't exist in the pro-life world. That's gone. You're sitting there face-to-face with a human as if you've never done this before and you're never going to do it again. So I don't get a script. I need the Holy Spirit to show up. I need God to empty me of myself and fill me with his words and his presence, because we are to be Jesus's hands and feet on planet Earth. So instead of trying to manipulate her into making a choice that I think that she should make, I forget about that. I need her to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and let me pray with her. And most of them do. Very few have ever refused prayer. But it's amazing when you can feel God's presence in a room, that you could cut it with a knife. It's an awesome opportunity to have. Not every woman chooses life. I'm not telling you that this happens and then like, yeah, we're 100%. No, but she knows she can come back, and they have. You know, we've had them not make the life choice and feel devastated, and the industry that they sought, you know, they chose to work with is no longer there. Like, no, we're done. You gave us our money. We did the thing that you came for us to do. Go to the emergency room if you're not happy. You know, no. You come to us, and we hold them. We cry with them. We pray with them, because now they need to know how to get connected to that Christ who forgives and heals and delivers. You know, yes, we didn't want them to make that decision, but we want them to know, regardless of what they choose, there's hope. That's why it's not just voice of hope if you choose life. It's voice of hope because God exists, and he sent his son to do what needed to be done for there to be hope, no matter what dark situation we've either gotten ourselves into or someone else has put us into that. So when we're face to face with that girl, that's what it looks like. Where are we going next? I don't know, because it's right now. We're in the right now, seeking God for an encounter. We do give information. I will not scare a girl with, you know, gruesome pictures or, you know, any sad story. We don't show instruments. We don't try to scare her. We trust our truth. And I will tell you, whatever the enemy does in secret and in darkness, that he becomes more powerful in that. And light shed on a situation weakens the enemy. However, it has its time and place. But in this room, where we're needing the Holy Spirit encounter of peace and love and wholeness and restoration, I don't use it there. I trust my truth. I trust God to do what God can do, because you can terrify them with all the information, and that's not going to guarantee they're going to make the choice that you're hoping them to make. Now, if you would come to me and say, nope, 100% of the time, if you show them this and that, they're going to choose life, do it. I wouldn't argue with you. You know, my thing is, I need her to know Jesus loves her. I need her to know where she can go to get salvation and forgiveness and restoration, and that God is the God of impossible things. He speaks things into existence when there's nothing there. So that's what that looks like. And then, of course, the pregnancy test is important. We want to offer that pregnancy test regardless of the reason. You know, you don't have to be seeking an abortion to come see us. You could just say, hey, I want to know if I'm pregnant or not. It's important that we're able to offer that to our women and our girls, because we want to begin using life-affirming words immediately. You know, we need her to know that when that two lines show up on that pregnancy test, you're not going to be a mom. You are a mom. You know, this is the baby's here.
You know, it sounds so simple, but yet people don't think about that.
No. Well, if, you know, if my daughter, which is not married yet, that's not going to happen, but but if my daughter were to tell me that she was pregnant, our culture and habit would be, oh, I'm going to be a grandma. No.
You already are.
I was a grandma before I knew it. You know, right?
That's right.
So you're going to be a sister. You're going to be an aunt. You're going to be an uncle. And that is really something that the Holy Spirit impressed on me in 2023 when I started, because I get to speak and share, you know, go to churches and whatnot. And, you know, it's always something different. I feel like the Holy Spirit reveals it, like he wants me to hit in certain years. And it has been a lot of revealing that, don't call it crisis pregnancy, call it crisis parenting, because you're parenting from the moment of conception through every age and stage of your child's life, even in the after. Have you ever known or loved anybody that's lost a child, whether they were an adult or young? That parent spends the rest of their life protecting and preserving the legacy that their child left behind. Once you're a parent, you are always a parent. And we need to protect that. We need to honor that. There's value in that. So with mom, when we see those two lines, we want to use those life-affirming words in a non-judgmental, loving, safe environment. Now, listen, if it's a girl that's been raped and it's happened, we don't be like, congratulations, you're pregnant. We let the Holy Spirit speak through us, you know. But we also don't treat it like a wart on our toe that needs to be burnt off and never to be thought of again. And it takes a special... It just a special touch. I'm not saying that we're special, but it takes a special touch. Hence our leaning and dependence on the Holy Spirit of God. It is so important. So we have the pregnancy test, and then we get them moved from pregnancy test to ultrasound, and everything's without cost to them, right? That they never, and I don't mind. I don't mind what their reason is for coming. We don't judge that, because we've had them lie to us before, just not divulge. You know, in fact, when the tearful life-choosing moment, they'll say, well, I called because I told you I didn't have insurance, but I was actually scheduled tomorrow to have an abortion, but something told me to call you. I always love that. I'm like, I know who that is. It's like when Paul said, you know, to the unknown God, well, let me tell you about this unknown God or this something that you're referring to. But then we want to do the ultrasounds. So we get after the pregnancy test and we establish life. We use life-affirming words in a sensible way. Then we just move it into with an assumption like, okay, now let's schedule that ultrasound. This isn't going to cost you anything. But, you know, especially if they're contemplating abortion, and we can get mail order abortions, and I don't want to talk about that right this second. We can. But mom needs to locate the pregnancy. And that's why we really encourage, we get this ultrasound because, okay, we've established you're pregnant. Now we need to locate the pregnancy, because I don't want her to rush home, you know, and www.abortioninmymailbox.com. That's not a real website, everyone. Please don't do that. But I know you get my point, and get one delivered either legally or illegally. We need her to understand that, yeah, you're causing a pregnancy test to read positive. You are, in fact, pregnant. The next step, we need to locate this baby. We need to make sure, and we will use the word baby. We try really hard not to say it. You know, it's this baby or he or she. We need to locate the pregnancy. We need to locate the baby and make sure that he or she is safely inside the womb, that this isn't an ectopic situation. You need to know. That's the next step. So this doesn't cost you anything. Let's do this. We get them scheduled for their ultrasound. The ultrasound is so important. I always love it. I love how God, in his creation and in his marvelous way, he knows us. He knows what we're capable of. When someone invented the procedure called abortion, and, well, they invented the procedure and then uses it for what it's used for, God didn't slap himself on the forehead and say, I cannot believe they figured that out. He knew. Mm-hmm. He knew then, like he knows now, what we're capable of. So he also helped us learn how to detect these babies and see them with the technology of ultrasound and that heartbeat. Oh my goodness, that heartbeat. When that sound echoes in a room, it'll sometimes spill out into the hallway. It's powerful. It brings tears. And I've had moms turn their head. They don't want to see it, but they hear it. That to me is providing a voice for the voiceless. That's the call that we're answering, that when we put that Doppler on that belly and we let that child be heard in that way, we are answering the call of being a voice to the voiceless, and the baby does his or her talking themselves. It's powerful. I mean, that sound blows my mind, you know. And so that, again, gives them opportunity to see and hear the sound of their baby. When I started 8 years ago in as the director, the statistic was that 80% of the women who get a chance to see and hear their baby will choose life if they're on the bubble, if they're not sure. That number's gone up to 90. And we've seen that in real time, that 90% of the women, if they're thinking about having an abortion, and it's all a lot of different reasons. You know, I don't judge any woman that comes in my office, because they'll tell me stories that makes the hair want to crawl off my head. Like, there's things that I'm like, I go back to the God of impossible. Like, I don't have answers for you, honey. I'm not going to pretend like I do. Let's go to the throne. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my God. But anyway, once they see and they see their baby and they hear their baby, it makes a difference. It's beautiful. I've seen some of the hardest guys come in that look like, you know, they're all rough and tough and whatnot. And they don't care. You know, they're just there because they were drug into it. And as soon as that sound, that fills the room. It's like you see them choking and little tears kind of pull up. And I was like, I got you, don't I? I don't say that, you know. And another important thing that I've discovered, and I praise God, and probably way smarter people figured it out sooner, is when we're talking to mom, we can establish the due date. You don't forget your due date, ever. And it's really cool how God has orchestrated it on some moms. The due date would be on somebody's birthday. That's significant, you know, and that's helped a mom make the life choice. Because dad, this one particular one I was thinking about, the dad, that they were married, and it was a situation where their firstborn was autistic, so we had to address that. We had to understand where she's coming from. It was a crisis to her, you know. But then I had her walk me through the journey of her son's life, and the Lord just spoke so beautifully, and I said, You didn't know then. Well, you know now. If for some reason this does happen again, which, you know, there's a percentage that it won't, you know, you already know what you're doing. There's not going to be the surprise that you had at first. And show me a picture of him. Look at that smile. You know, it was just beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. But so dad and she both were, you know, in agreement. And I understand where they were coming from, because it was tragic for them to adjust to this surprise for their lives. And the baby's due date was on dad's birthday. She came back and said, yeah, no, he doesn't want it. So dad was on board too. Yeah. You know, that, and in fact, it was really cool because I assumed she'd be a Star Wars fan, and the due date was actually on May the 4th. And yeah, I was like, hey, you know, it's May the 4th be with you. She's like, you know, I was like, but the Holy Spirit knew what I didn't know. He's way smarter than me. And it was like, no, that's dad's birthday.
So in a given year, how many women will you have come to you?
Oh, it's different every time. It's actually increased quite a bit. You know, I'm trying to think this year. I feel like we've had 7 women that has actually gone through every step with coming in abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable, has chosen life or not. Not very many. It's been, I think, 2 of those. I would have to check my numbers. But what I love is recently we have invested in Google Ads. So I don't get to necessarily see a lot of women come through. And you have to understand that where we live, the demographic of where we live, how far would you have to drive to get an abortion? There's a reason for that. That it's not in high demand, but that doesn't mean that makes us insignificant, because we're not seeing 700 women in a year, because there's people living now that wouldn't have if we would have let them be forgotten and didn't invest in this ministry for this area. And I always like sharing that with people, because we don't think about it in that level. But since we've invested in the Google ads, I mean, we get over 100 women contact us, because when they search abortion pill or abortion clinic near me, we come up first and they click, and it says very much so, like, we do not perform or refer to abortions. Here's what we're going to talk about. But mom's in crisis. She clicks and she fills out the scheduler. And that's why we're able to increase and get more in. But sometimes the encounters are over the phone or texting and emailing back and forth. And those are awesome, because I'm guessing here about 90, a high 90% of the time, if I'm able to contact a girl and have the conversation with her, she will engage. If I cannot get her to come in the office, she's at least going to email me back and forth or accept my phone call and will allow me to pray for her and pray with her. Now, when we end that communication thread, I don't know which way it goes. You know, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, we were here for her, and that's what we need to do, where otherwise we wouldn't have been. And it has increased more and more and more. And I know it's been over 100 women that has contacted us through the Google ad campaign and that we have talked to and called and talked on the phone. In fact, I'm in a series of texting someone now that she won't come in, but she's texting me. She's talking to me. I send her scriptures. I talk to her. I had one girl send me an email the other day that just thanked me for her baby. She said, you know, I had a dream that I'm not supposed to do this. I dreamed about my baby. And she not only told me that she chose life, but she thanked me for intervening. Now, it's not me, Barbara. We don't take credit for that. Because, you know, anytime you want to take credit for ministry done through you, God will say, okay, go ahead. He'll lift his hands up off you and let you just go on with your bad self. And we don't do that. It's all Jesus, you know. But anyway, she was thanking me for it and even shared, I can't share it on air, but shared with me the name. If it's a boy, I'm naming him this. And if it's a girl, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't always get this opportunity. Yeah. You know, we put it to the throne, we pray, we believe, and we have to move on, you know. And so we do get those wonderful opportunities that people share with us what they've chosen. Sometimes we don't.
Great. So how many people work at your office?
We have 5 total. 3 actually work at the Marion Center, and I have one gal that goes back and forth between the Bucyrus and the Upper Center. We just hired someone that's starting in January, which will put us up to 6, and then our sonographer, and she travels. She, you know, we just schedule her different days at the centers.
And do you have some volunteers or all volunteers?
Yeah, we have mostly volunteers. Right now we're up to about 15 people who volunteer.
Okay. So, we got about 8 minutes left, but I want to
cover. I told you this would go by quick. I told you it was a windbag.
A couple things are okay. Just kind of like formalities.
Okay.
So, if someone is interested in volunteering or in some way helping your organization, how do they do that?
Oh, well, they would just need to give us a call. They can also email us or go to our website. Our website is voiceofhopepc.org. So that's Voice of Hope PC. The PC is for Pregnancy Center. voiceofhopepc.org. And there is a partnership tab that they can actually fill out their application online if they want to. If they want to call us, they can call 740-223-0419 and ask for Barbara, or tell whoever they're talking to, I want to volunteer, what do I need to do, and we'll get you where you need to go. That's the best way. And then if you want to email me and we can send an application, it's Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, at voiceofhopepc.org. And just let us know. Stop by and see us if you're here in Marion or 217 West Center Street. We're beside City Hall, across from the county building. You can't miss us on that nice little corner there.
Yes.
You can pop in. Our regular business hours are 10 to 2 Monday through Thursday. And then we open up again on Tuesdays from 5 to 7. Anyone can come in at any time, especially if they want to tour the center. Like, you know, I need to see this because I cannot share with you in 1 hour what we're doing.
So a person could come in and tour.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. We love that. I love doing tours. Okay. They're great.
Now, since you provide all these services at no cost to the women, how are you funded?
Oh, I love this question. We actually have 3 events a year that we do. At the beginning of the year, we have an open house where all 3 centers are open and people can come, tour the centers, and donate. It is a fundraising drive that we do, so they can come and give however they would like. In June, we do a Walk for Life, which is a virtual Walk for Life. Those are super fun. And all of this will be on our website, information for this. But if you want to participate in the Walk for Life, you set a date you want to walk, recruit sponsors and people to walk with you, and we bring in a nice healthy change with that. And then in September, we do a banquet. It's always the third Thursday of September. We They have a fundraising banquet. That's the nice event where we wear our nice clothes and we break out the nice dishes and feed a nice meal. And we have corporate sponsors who underwrite the cost of all of these fundraising events that I just told you about. And as a means of gratitude, we do a shout out for our corporate sponsors. So if you're interested in corporate sponsorship, you can contact the office and let me know to help underwrite the cost of the fundraising, because at all of our events, 100% of the donations goes to the ministry, because we have corporate sponsors who pay for that nice meal and that china to be washed when we're done. And I love that, that we're not paying for that. We're saving babies with the donations that's coming in, and that's great. And then we also have individual donors, monthly donors, church sponsorship. We do a baby bottle campaign all year. Churches and different organizations choose a month, any month they want to, and they use that month to distribute baby bottles. The people take the baby bottles and pray over them, fill them, and turn them back in. We get a lot of money through that. I love the baby bottle campaign. It's really fun to do. And I think that's it. I mean, sometimes we'll write grants. We don't get federal funding. But sometimes we'll get, you know, grant money for different things that we have. Knights of Columbus are amazing. They buy, if we need an ultrasound machine, every time I've needed an ultrasound machine, they rally behind us and get it. It's pretty fantastic. And we've had individual donors actually purchase ultrasound machines for us too.
Do you also, can you get, or do you have individual donors that will supply goods like diapers and things like that?
Yes, that's a fantastic question too. So we have churches and organizations do baby showers for us. And on our website is a list of stuff we always need, because the funding that we receive, that's used to keep the doors open, the lights on. Everything that we offer to give the parents to help them, we have boutiques for that, and they're fully stocked by people who purchase items and donate it. You can, if you go to our website, I know our last newsletter just talked about this, but you could also go to Walmart, and we're registered at Walmart out of it's called Spark Good program, that you can actually go in there and shop. It is delivered right to the door, or you can just buy what you need. Some people just love to buy baby stuff. So I would say go buy baby stuff and bring it. You know, our biggest need right now is size 3 and up diapers, because most people assume we need size 1s, and we do not need size 1s diaper, but diapers and clothes, everything. Everything that you know a person needs to raise a baby, that's what we need. High chairs, strollers, all the things we need.
Okay. So why don't you give your phone number again and that website again?
Okay. Phone number is 740-223-0419. Our website is www.voiceofhopepc.org. So it's spelled out, voiceofhopepc.org.
All right. So we've got about a minute and a half left. Do you have anything you want to say that maybe something I didn't cover, something that's important?
I do. I mentioned earlier about, you know, being passionate about being pro-life, for life, for the life of the child, and that we want to call it crisis parenting, not crisis pregnancy. So we are helping parents who are dealing with an unplanned pregnancy, but we also help parents who are dealing with a planned pregnancy but unplanned life. So the other portion of our ministry, you do not have to be contemplating abortion to come see us. You could just have plain old-fashioned too much month and not enough money. We will help. Please come to us. You can take the parenting classes, earn the baby bucks, and get the things that you need. It is our passion to support people in that area. And we have found that women, more babies have been saved through this portion of our ministry than the one I talked about earlier, because they'll be coming to us for help and then get pregnant again. And guess who the first people are that they call? It's us. Because they've already built a relationship with us. And then we also, another facet of the ministry, we do partner with Children's Services, with some of our POs in the neighborhood, for people who have gotten into trouble, that they're at risk of losing custody of their children or have already lost custody of their children. Our parent education classes and our mentorship program helps them as they're working their reunification efforts. When they work their case plan, or if they need to build a parent portfolio, we help them with that as well. So again, we believe in being pro-life for the life of the person. We're not just fetus focused. We're here to save lives and strengthen families.
Great. Barbara, I want to thank you so much for coming. I mean, this was really an awesome interview. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. And thank you out there for listening. I appreciate it. And please, if you have any interest in helping or donating, or just interest in, you know, maybe some little bit more information, do not hesitate to call Barbara. This is Pastor Craig. This is Study His Word. And I'll be back again next Friday. Thank you.
Your place for the holidays. For legendary broadcaster Charlie Evers and Scott Spears having some holiday fun on air.
What we're going to do, I have the number for Claxton.